The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's Friday, the 16th of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We opened the show this morning with Island Hopper by Shine. My producer is just magical. My producer didn't know that I'd been pestering Shine, who's the singer of that song, Island Hopper, for the last 13 hours, 17 hours, because he had a post up yesterday saying, "We got a season open." And I was like, you're absolutely right. But also, Shine, come open Regatta season on the clock with Erin Green. And we got Crystal Dahl and Sergeant joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We got to open up Regatta season. What does it mean? Especially since Shine, come on. That's the Regatta anthem. That's the Regatta anthem. I'm an island hopper. It just makes sense, man. Shine, you always on time. I want you to come be on time on my show. Whenever you have the time, because you're a busy, busy man. We got lots to talk about. All the notes I sent you last night, all the stories from yesterday we didn't get to, the stories from the day before. We got lots to talk about. Disturbing videos I've seen this week.
Oh, my God.
A little NFL.
They just keep piling up. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. A little NFL roundup, we're in the divisional round, a daily dose of positive, right? Superstar Rockets finally take the top prize in Grand Bahama's Pine Yard Rush. Rocker is not Rockets? Okay, thank you, producer. That's what the paper did say. Tribune is Rockers. Thank you.
I got mixed up with the Houston Rockets or something.
This has happened to us, you know. we be a little American sometimes. The Superstar Rockers are the unofficial winners of Grand Bahama's Pine Yard Rush Junkanoo Parade. Why is this a daily dose of positive? Because everything Junkanoo is positive, right? Grand Bahama, Junkanoo is positive because you see all the trouble we have in Nassau keeping Junkanoo alive? These guys in Grand Bahama are doing it. But this is the choice for daily dose of positive because the Superstar Rockets finally broke a six-year second-place streak, claiming first place. And boy, are they excited. Following them in that division, the Swingers, who are the traditional champions of the parade, they took second place with the theme Magnificent Expressions of Diverse Cultures. The classic, I wonder how long it take them to spell that out on the banner. Right?
Two banners.
The classic dancers took third with Breakfast Time, Let's Eat Cereal. featuring colorful depictions of popular cereal brands. Platinum Knights finished fourth with Jewels of the Bahamas, while New Generation rounded out the top five. In the Division B category, Showtime captured first place with Wizard of Oz. I hope you all did the Quincy Jones version. Like, I hope you all did the Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, the Wiz version, right? The Bushwhackers placed second, Sting came in third, and Bohemian Gladiators finished fourth. A total of 10 groups participated in this year's Pine Yard Rush Parade. I just say, you know, well done. Also, like, you can see landscape is shifting with the introduction of the National Junkanoo Authority Act. The Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture was in attendance, along with Percy Vola Francis and representatives from the National Junkanoo Corporation, who traveled to Freeport to witness the cultural showcase. According to Superstar Rockers leader Chauncey Gray, the group has consistently placed second over the past 6 years, but remained determined to finally rise above what they call, quote unquote, the hump. Mm. We say congratulations. Congratulations. Okay, so we've done our daily dose of positive. Here are some of the stories that I've had lined up over the last few days we didn't necessarily get to, and new stories. And then what's in today's paper? Oh, today's paper is hot. So, A Tale of Two Port Cities. A Tale of Two Port Cities, examining the 3,000 acres for port deal. That's the Guardian story, 13th of January. Global Lead Consultant Group Limited has been granted a 25-year lease for approximately 3,000 acres of crown land for the Mayaguana development of the Port of Mayaguana, the OPM confirmed last weekend, right? So that's one port city, because it's more than just a port. Mm-hmm. They say they intend on building. And then there is Bahamian Group and $400 million bid for GBPA, right? And that is the group Born Free Capital. Mm-hmm. All right, if you're familiar with the term Born Free, then you know that attorney John Boswick is a part of that project. Other stories, early election. I saw this interesting story. Senior PLPs urge PM, wait until our time is right and avoid early election. And two stories. Bishop Boyd questions sentencing disparity between poor blacks and well-connected whites and blacks, right? And the second story, Sweeting slams repugnant racial slurs at shantytown demolition in Spanish Wells, right? Now, the question I have is it classism, right? Is what Bishop Boyd describes racism or classism? And what we observed in the exercise, the demolition exercise in Spanish Wells, where in the press, the officers at the time indicated or stated that they did not arrest mm-hmm. one of the individuals who was behaving in what could be described as a disorderly manner, right? Mm-hmm. That they were not going to arrest that individual. I wanted to ask the question, right? Like, is this racism? Is it classism? Mm-hmm. Right? And like, what's going on here? And then what's in the headlines? I got a text here that says, morning, Aaron, happy Friday. Please let taxi driver, I'll read the number in a second. Know that sticking your hand out of the window is not a substitute for a turning signal. Okay, it depends, texter. That's why I haven't called the taxi number yet. It depends. There are these things called hand signals, right? So if you know that your turn signal, the mechanical signal, mm-hmm. the lights in your car, if you know that they're not working, or you suspect that they may not be working, or you know 100% you're not certain that they're working, you are mandated to use hand signals, right? If you look at the manual, you'll see that there are four hand signals, at least four, right? Now we're in a right-hand drive car. So if you're in a right-hand drive car and you are turning left, you put your hand out the window like a reverse 90-degree angle, right? With your hand pointing up, and that indicates that you're turning to the left, because if you moved your hand, you would be moving it to the left, mm-hmm. right? If you are turning right, you put your hand down, right? And that's an indicator that you're turning right. If you are slowing down, you put your hand out and you sort of wave, and repeatedly until you come to a stop or until you come to the pace that you're slowing to. And if you come into a full stop, you put your hand out straight, right? Always, always check your mirrors because people don't respect the signage on the road. Motorcyclists, four-wheelers, and some cars believe that they're authorized to make a third lane. Right? See, the police are not supposed to do it unless they have their emergency lights on. Right? There is no third lane unless it's clearly demarked by lines in the road. The reason I picked up this text, Crystal, right now is because all morning I was looking for Taxi Driver by KB on YouTube to play, to start the show with.
Yeah.
Okay, so the text said it was not a hand signal. I drive golf cart. I know what those are. So they just throw their hand out.
Okay.
Like that's supposed to be. Okay, so but I just wanted to clarify, texter, that there are instances when somebody's hand poking out of their window is an indicator. Right? Sometimes the people them just smoking cigarette and they don't want the cigarette inside the car, so they hang their hand out. But TN1830, go pick up the driver's license manual, man. Pick up the manual and learn it. Oh, and then Royal Bahamas Police Force, make sure that all of your police officers understand what the rules of the road are. So not only can they enforce them, but they could follow them. And then they know what to enforce. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Not bad. You know, Ms. Fain, yesterday in the news, right, the Minister of Tourism, right, report from the Boundaries Commission, right, and he said that the Boundaries Commission says in their report that they need 60 seats for you to have a democratic election where you have parity or everybody have an equal vote. Right?
60, like 6-0, or 60, like 1-6?
6-0.
No, man.
Yeah, that's their report.
I believe you.
Numbers. That's by numbers. You understand me? In other words, because the reason why they come to that conclusion is that they don't want to deplete. They feel like they don't need to put more islands, form family islands together to make the you know what I mean, whatever percentage, say it takes 40,000 voters in Nassau. For Nassau to be balanced. Therefore, all them family islands need to do the same. You understand me? For them to do that, then they got to reduce the 60 to say the seats they have.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then the excuse is that callers and people want to make that we don't need 60 seats because of what? Too much money to pay? How much does the parliamentaries make? 40,000?
Yeah, we can't afford to pay them for 60 seats.
$40,000 for 30 people? Come on, man. We be spending millions on travel and millions. We be wasting millions of dollars, right? And watch me. But then they could do the next best thing and what you call it, put more family island seats together. And watch me. That's this excuse about they need a voice. The family need island need a voice. Miss Green, you look at any major private employer in this country and see where they come and see where they run them family islands. You understand me? So they get representatives. Come on, and we live in a world there, and a modern world. You understand? You could.
Okay.
Communication's gone to bed.
Stick a pin. You saying a lot of interesting things. Stick a pin for a second, right? Something you said there, but let's talk about it. 60.
Don't cut me off. Let me
no, I'm not going to cut you off. You said some interesting things, and I would like to explore them, right? First question I want to ask you is which media house posted it? Our News, Eyewitness,
no, man,
Guardian.
No, no,
hey, so Guardian, this is what you got to say is Guardian. Right?
Yesterday, Guardian.
Don't row me.
I'm not wrong.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. They said you need 60 seats for true parity in the country?
Right.
I listen, it's time to send them home. When is time for the summer break? Send them on summer break now.
See, because the reason why, right? Because they don't want to put, okay, how many seats? How many? My car have about how many? 4 islands, right?
Yeah,
right.
Five. So it's five. It's my gal is five.
Right. So in other words, if them 5 islands don't make 40 seats, me 4,000 seats, which would be the average in Nassau, right? They need to put more together to make 4,000. You see, and this would they, and see, watch me now. And you know, Ms. Green, all you need is local, proper local government. And when you get local government, you know what you need with that? You need a local government tax.
Yeah.
See, nobody want, you see, and see, and what they do on the state, they taking advantage of poor people.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel
rich
you.
People on, pardon?
I do. You make a great point there. Let's emphasize it, right? The we could solve maybe the majority or virtually all of the issues with the implementation and the proper function of a local government system. Right.
So it ain't no excuse, Ms. Green, to tell me, well, the farm yard and seeing get a voice. All these, okay, look at all these airports and ports that...
Now, you know, hold on. The truth is the family islanders don't have a voice, but it's not...
Let me say
why I think they don't have a voice. They don't have a voice, not because the boundaries are not set properly and the voters are not distributed properly, but they don't have a voice because their very own MP, the person who they elect, prioritizes the interests of the party over the interests of the administration in many instances, over the interests of the constituents, right? That's why the people don't have a voice.
I agree. But
okay, that's all.
No.
Yeah.
People in Nassau ain't had no voice.
The same thing happened here.
But watch me. The dumb family islands getting airports, they're getting docks, they're getting, what else they getting?
No, no. They're getting plans for airports and docks. And now, I'm not gonna diminish the work put in by the technicians and the people who've been working on the airport project. I know them, and they're working, right? They're working. But it's taken far too long. It's taken far too long for these airports projects to start.
So let's look at portable water. Portable water, electrification. You think them family islands and thing would got these things, they could afford them?
No.
They can't afford, they come from Nassau. In other words, all they have is voices. You know what I'm saying? That's an excuse. Watch me. Like I say before, right?
Mm-hmm.
The business owners in Nassau, these people, they having their cake in Nassau and eating it in the family islands. That's what they want. I'm even robbing the poor people in Nassau.
Okay.
You understand me? You have their powers.
All right.
You see, of their democracy.
I hear you.
See, until that's addressed, I don't need to hear nothing from these,
political
techno. They like, you know, the techno.
Technocrats?
Techno what? Techno.
Technocrats.
Feudalism. Techno feudalism in this country, you know? Passive and feudalism and things.
Okay, listen, thank you very much. Let's go to the next.
I heard what he said, though, but there have been a lot over the past X amount of years. Nassau has also seen a lot of new developments and ports being built too.
Right. At the same time,
so that's been happening too.
New Providence.
It's not only happening in the family islands.
Right.
Like, I don't know if that's what he was trying to say, but it's happening everywhere. And then I do think that 60, that sounds like a lot. I don't know if, when I read through the Boundaries Commission document, I don't know if that would... work based on their stipulations, because I think you're supposed to have a certain amount of people per constituency. It's about making it like a balance. That's why they lump like islands together. It's a certain number of people per constituency to try to make it as fair as possible. So I don't even know if we have the population, like if that's going to work out in that way.
Yeah, I think that. So what the suggestion would be then is to create parity, you need to reduce the numbers down to the minimum, right? So if the smallest constituency group has 2,000 voters, mm-hmm. then you're going to make all of your constituencies roughly 2,000 voters, which would then mean an increase in constituencies. But the issue, the lack of services, the inability to deliver, not just on promises, but to deliver on established, right, policy, protocol, mm-hmm. and legislation has little to do with the composition of the constituencies and more to do with the composition of the governance structures for the islands and the constituencies, mm-hmm. and the way that the central governing system and the current and the administration, whoever it is, mm-hmm. whether it's this one or the last one or the one before, consistently into the operation of local government. The same attitude that they have about the laws and the procedures and the systems and central, they belong to us, they don't belong to, it's the same attitude, right, that has I won't say not even matriculated, not gone up, but has imported into the function of local government. So I wanted to explore, and so I was trying to explore exactly what it is he meant, because don't have enough money. Let's prep the caller, producer, please. We don't have the money, and y'all don't have the performance. Y'all are not performing, and you keep changing the goalpost. All right, producer, let me go to this caller before we go to the break. Thank you. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Aaron?
Good, thank you.
All right, I'm one of your guests.
Good morning.
Hey, Aaron, yes. I never bought the fact that you need an MP for, it was like 5,000 members for each constituency, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never bought the fact that you need an MP, 5,000 people. I'm going to tell you why, right?
Mm-hmm.
The member of parliament's job, as far as I am concerned, is not to cater to the personal needs of everybody in the constituency, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His job is to make laws that cause people to thrive,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Back in the day, I think at the time, people only could have voted, they had like land or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a need for all this stuff they do every 5 years. Listen, man, let's separate it. If you have east, west, north, south, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with the areas that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
A member of parliament shouldn't, I mean, it's my opinion, he shouldn't have to be, or she shouldn't have to be walking around, going to every household to see what you need. It's impossible to fulfill all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Go to parliament, make laws, stop giving payments the red tape, give us a red carpet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And allow us to thrive.
Mm-hmm. I say
I don't need to see no MP come my own. I don't need to see none of them.
Well, I would like to see the presence of the MP in the constituency. That doesn't mean that I need to see the MP personally. But more importantly, the MP should have constituency teams. Every home should be observed, should be touched by a team member, right? An assessment should be made on a regular basis, whether it is an in-person interview or just a casual visual observation, right? My team, I should have a team member who's driving through the community constantly trying to identify small repair projects, potholes, shingles coming off that could become, see, because the things that come out of your yard become a public hazard and become an issue for public safety on the roads, right? When your garbage, when the dog knock your garbage bin down into the road, whatever sharp objects were in your bin are now a risk for my tires. And so I expect a constituency team to be able to move through a constituency constantly, observing everything all the time. But that's not the job of the MP themselves. They should be aware of these programs, direct these programs, and collect the most important data from the program so that they could advance policy for the constituency up to the House and Cabinet.
I agree with you. Let me tell you something, right? Mm-hmm. Every constituency has different needs, right?
Yeah.
Some people need trauma treatment. I mean, like or training or parental training, right?
Yeah.
Everything is different. So I think we have to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at every constituency in New Providence. I think we have like maybe 24 constituencies in New Providence. Or I could be off, right?
Yeah. Well, it's -7, right? So today. But we have
24 in New Providence, like, somewhere around there. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, right,
mm-hmm.
if you look at Fox Hill,
mm-hmm.
Fox Hill might need more training than, let's say, Killarney.
Fox Hill need recycling centers. Fox Hill has a lot of bush mechanics. Fox Hill has a lot of fruit trees, so you know they could use processing centers. They could use landscaping equipment for landscaping teams, right?
Yes.
All kinds of things. I got you. Go on.
Right, but my point is that's what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need, like, I heard the minister talking the other day about 5,000, 15,000 people in Killarney, and then they send us 5,000 apiece, right?
Mm-hmm.
That parity, Aaron, I don't buy because...
We could mitigate the issues that arise through other mechanisms. I got you.
Let's just fix the areas.
I got you. Thank you.
You don't need 41 MPs. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. I don't think so either. Thank you very much. It's not enough parking in town for all of that foolishness. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Here we go. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Right on, man. Hey, you realize it's the Bahamas, right? You fully well know he ain't no one going to vote for the AMP if they ain't see them. You fully well know that.
I mean...
Number one, what's the number, hold on. What's one of the number one cries that people call during the election? Oh, I can't say last time I see my AMP.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they have to go do that. They don't. You think they won't go to the house every day? But they have to do that because mm-hmm. of vote.
No,
people want to see them.
No, no. A culture of patronage has been established, and the people know in a culture of patronage, the patron have to see you to know that you need things. That's the system.
And it's the expectation.
But somebody responsible for the establishment of that, listen, I get it. Let me go to the end. I want you to call back so I could tell you I need your house for parking because we can move the World Cup to the Bahamas. Because the U.S. having some issues with it, we can move the World Cup to the Bahamas, but I can need everybody front yard for parking. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Hey, Miss Green. How you do?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Listen to me.
Yes, sir.
If you have a constituency that is run properly,
mm-hmm.
you should have an office. You should have office hours for the mm-hmm. member of parliament to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Instead of the member of parliament have to go to every house. Our office hours on Tuesday, that's your Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
is from 9 to 5. You have a chance to see your member of parliament every Tuesday.
Yeah.
But if the member parliament fixing the parks, then what roads, what parks and beaches have to do? If the member parliament fixing the light on the lamp pole, what BPL has to do? If the member parliament tying the road, what the Ministry of Works has to do? Do we have areas to do these things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let the member parliament be in there trying to see how they can lower the light bill, or how they can take water off the grocery, or how they can better the hospital. That's the job of the member of parliament, not to give you a ham. To mind you, the ham and turkey giveaway and the scarf or whatever giveaway, it is a good thing, right, to show your appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
But that they're not obligated to do that for you, to have Christmas parties for your children.
Mm-hmm.
They want the government to do everything for their children other than make the children. That's the only thing they don't want the government to do.
Man.
Everything else after that. The government did. Come on, man.
Listen, it's a culture of patronage, and let's be fair to parents.
Not just that, it's a good thing for the MP to do to get the community support. So it's like hand go, hand come. That's the type of thing it is.
Yeah. Man, Uncle, you make a sound point, and with a strong constituency team, along with a properly functioning and effective local government, right? It doesn't take away the MP's responsibility or obligation to the constituency to ensure that these things are done. It takes the weight off of the MP's back of having to do it themselves.
Exactly.
Right? Now, thank you very much, callers, for a lovely interrogation. What should an MP be doing? I'm going to bring clips from Future of Democracy 4's keynote speaker who spoke on clientelism, which is like a culture of patronage works, particularly in a small island developing state. It's a great conversation. When we get back from the break, we're going to go through the text line. And again, the NFL highlights, a tale of two port cities, racism or classism, and then in the headlines, ex-police staff association chair convicted. I get a text there who say, we're going to still use the word allegedly, Green. We can see. Wait till we come back from the break and I read the article. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, and joining me today, Crystal Darling Sargent. We'll be right back.
Look funny, all black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them, and the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. For everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. That was Shine again, right, producer? That was Shine is the anthem man, you know. Like, okay, in particular, right, they ushering in the new cohort. Like, they are the current cohort. They ushering in a new cohort. Let me tell you why, because they got the producers excited. The producers making all of the rake and scrape beats and thing. It's a wonderful time to be alive. Okay, we're going to go to the caller. Let's prep that caller. Caller, we're coming to you in 1 second. I'm looking at today's Guardian. I see the Bahamas Business Outlook in the center of the page, right? A snapshot from the Bahamas Business Outlook. And I read or heard snippets from the Prime Minister's presentation, and apparently it was awesome. It was an awesome economic snapshot, and I just want to know one thing. Do all of the citizens of the country have to buy a ticket to the Bahamas Business Outlook to get an actual economic outlook of the country? Is that what we have to do? Because I know two guys. I know Sabas and Fox. They could afford to buy everybody a ticket to Bahamas Business Outlook, so we could be on the same page as the investors that are invited to come and enjoy the Bahamas. Like, the citizens could be on the same page with them. But I say, job well done. Job well done, Bahamas Business Outlook. I just wish that we, the Bahamian people, could have an insight, the same insight that our esteemed guests and visitors get about the Bahamas economic landscape. Let's go to the caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Yes, Ms. Green. Let me say a few words, and then I can hang up and listen to you, right?
Okay.
You know, watch this now. Majority rule is a, what you call it, a equitable, all constituencies equitable.
Right.
That's majority rule. The whether the government doing this and that, that ain't majority rule. It's about the vote.
Mm-hmm.
All these, whatever they doing, what they, and what they ain't doing, it ain't have nothing to do with majority rule.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? So when you don't have majority rule, we have a problem
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? All the excuses they make not to have majority rule, that's a problem. The potholes, the this and that.
When the let me give you an example. When you see road works being prioritized in particular areas, right? They are prioritizing the
economy. That didn't have nothing to do with
Uncle, pause. You come here with such exciting talking points. But you only want to explore them yourself. One of the points, if you're talking about democracy in this instance, the perfect example of what you're talking about in majority rule, right, is the decision who decides which roads and communities are prioritized in terms of public infrastructure, right? Because that decision, right, is a determination of whose economy is more important. Right? When they decide that they're going to fix the potholes in that community over there and not your community, they are prioritizing their economy over your economy. So a conversation as simple as the equitable allocation of national resources examines, right, whether we are actually experiencing majority rule or not, because we can see that some communities are prioritized in terms of their infrastructural needs, and that ties directly into the weight of their economy, right? That is, if we're discussing democracy and majority rule, which takes us to our next point. Caller, you raised such points to be expanded and explored, but you don't let us expand them and explore them. So I wanted to take us to this. Disturbing videos I saw this week. School majority rule performance. There's a video floating around, a primary school performance. Mm-hmm. The kids are singing a PLP campaign slogan. The Ministry of Education then comes out and explains this was a small snippet of a broader cultural program for Majority Rule Day, mm-hmm. where the students were performing all of the campaign songs, right? Mm-hmm. That is a reasonable explanation for what we saw. But the decision to highlight Majority Rule to commemorate the event Majority Rule by performing political campaign songs is disturbing. It's disturbing because the people who are responsible for teaching the history obviously don't understand it or what it is they should be teaching. They don't know the difference between partisan and political. They don't know the difference between non-political and non-partisan. Campaign songs have nothing to do with majority rule unless those kids were performing the campaign songs that were used during that election, the 1967, during the 1967 election, or the election when they got majority rule. Mm-hmm. That is the only campaign song that's relevant in this exercise.
So I have a question. I didn't see the video.
Okay.
But you said they did the campaign songs for both parties or three parties
snippet that is mm-hmm. shared online is a small clip that only captures a part of the performance, mm-hmm. and that part of the performance is a relatively current PLP campaign song.
Okay.
So people were upset, like, hey, y'all got these children performing PLP songs. Mm-hmm. And then Ministry of Education came out and explained that was not the only campaign song. It was not the only party whose campaign songs were mm-hmm. performed. It was a part of a broader cultural display to commemorate Majority Rule Day.
So once again, we come back to this, and we spoke about this earlier, right? There's a time and a place, you know, for certain things. And for this in particular, we're talking about majority rule. We didn't say children, are we teaching them the definition? Remember, we talked about definitions like a uniform.
Because if you actually...
What is the standard definition for majority rule?
Because, hold on, if you understood the definition and you understood the journey to majority rule, then you would understand... And then you recognize that you've made it a public holiday at the level of national commemoration. Nothing should lead you to that performance.
And there's always like a separation. Once again, we saw on Majority Rule Day where, or for majority rule, there was this the separate for the PLP and the FNM had their separate thing.
Yeah.
It's, the majority rule is supposed to be a national holiday, right?
So and
it's
a nonpartisan.
For everyone. And so this type of vibe, and, you know, and starting it from the bottom up is just not, that's just poor taste.
Problematic.
Honestly.
It's yeah, problematic. Good morning, caller.
Hello, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning.
You know, these are the type of conversations we need, you know, Ms. Green, you know, in describing you and Crystal both, right? You know, you're critically humorous and have an eye for critique, constructive and not, you know, just being balanced. Like, you guys have a talent for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thank I appreciate you. That. You know, but Ms. Green, I want to expose some PSYOPs operations that's going on. You know, so for me...
Local or global?
Well, local, of course.
Okay, you know, go on,
go on. I don't want, but, you know...
Yeah.
There's a geopolitical nightmare going. I don't want to stay in my range.
Yeah,
but listen, for me, the town hall meetings would be, you know, as we relate to these type of issues, town hall meetings, and I like what Dales are saying also, right? But I want to clear up something. You know, I'm 61, and so for me, it's inglorious, and it's really disrespectful for me to say, but I mean, I guess he might be right. He's saying most people always want to see the MP and want something from the MP, right? But I mean, I can't really remember seeing no MP. I don't really, I agree with the other call. I don't need to see them. They need to implement things to make us, you know what I mean? So I
live, feel them. Feel them, not see them.
So I mean, when my apartment was for the Grove and Angleton, because, you know, one side of the street became too gerrymandering, one side of the street was St. Barnabas, the south side became Angleton. So, you know, it doesn't really didn't matter to me. Shenandoah, I wouldn't go look for him. I voted for him once. And so, you know, I don't see the need to see him. Sometime before the PM became PM, the lady came in my opposition shop saying the PM, Davis, bring up to the next corner. I say, but she goes, I say, for what? That's just me. I got to be me. So, I mean, for me, I don't understand what he's talking about, but wanting something from the MP because I was never, that is not me. So you got to speak for, they got to speak for themselves, Ms. Green.
I'm
never getting anything from any MP. I've never asked them anything. You can ask them at the problem. I was discussing local issues and things that can be done within the city.
Mm-hmm.
I live in an inner city where, you know, I don't know how much percentage of the people are migrants, but we live harmoniously, right?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, they're still strangers, and I still go to their shop. I buy. We still have in the exchanges. One guy came here. He wanted me to do some policy work. I gave him an estimate. He thought it was too expensive. But that's it. I don't go around begging people. That's what I'm saying. And so at the end of the day, we're still looking for improvements in healthcare and things, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to expose the PSYOPs operation that's going on as relates to the destruction of the shantytowns. Because for me, the government could just pass the Shantytown Act and get rid of all this BS. So, I mean, you're insulting me as a human being when you're not listening to me and you know constructive ideas. You want to fall in line with the North and the their own citizens because you've been away to school and you think everybody else is a fool. One Shantytown Act will solve all this problem, but they don't want to. You get what I'm saying?
I
realize
you're
part of town hall meetings when they were building the Trans-Texas Corridor in Texas as it relates to the NAFTA highway from Mexico. Give thanks.
Blessings. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, to what he said, too, I feel like he brought up some good points because I, too, feel the same way. I don't need to see my MP, to be honest.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people may feel that way. But this is the platform. Majority rule is a good day. And independence and days like these, National Heroes Day, are the days to reinforce and teach the students what is expected. What are the expectations of your leaders, the prime minister, the members of parliament? What is the role? Right? Mm-hmm. And that should be the focus of the conversation.
Stick a pin.
Okay.
What y'all have ZNS for? See, with what 52 is saying, it's also a generational aspect. People want to see they buy. No, when we was in fifth grade, I did give Davis a half my peanut butter sandwich because somebody trip him and his fall on the ground. He owe me from fifth grade, so people want to see their MPs. To this point, use ZNS. Please, use ZNS. When we was cheering, all we had to watch was ZNS. Put the programming on ZNS. Like you say, on these days, if you could do it live, do it live. If it's recorded, record it. Put it on, launch it then, and then continue to show it.
Yeah.
If you bored us to death with ZNS, and then it turns out 15 years later we realize we learned plenty things, do the same thing to the children.
No, it's informative, right? And yeah. It's very important. It's crucial information that we need as a community. And nowadays, there are so many ways to put content forward that may be boring in an interesting, fun, like humorous
way.
On that point, we should be more thoughtful about the public perception of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. So I think that was someone dropped the ball there with that event planning. When they said, okay, how will this be perceived? If this is, which most likely will be recorded and put on social media, how will the, you have to anticipate it.
Public,
prevention is better than cure.
Public
That's
perception.
Gonna be a problem.
Hold on, taking you back to what 52 said about the PSYOP, right? Mm-hmm. The PSYOP is the illusion that you're hearing us. The PSYOP is the illusion that you're taking into account what it is we're saying. The pretense that you have a listening ear when you allow so much informed opinion, so much technical contribution, so much experiential knowledge from people who are living in these communities or situations, you allow them to fall to political weight. Okay, I want to read this text and then we got to go back into disturbing videos to end the show. Right? It says, Aaron, 25 years, so Lyndon didn't have a majority rule day. Why have it after he died? Because it's political for PLP. Okay, texter, we're going to have to do a whole show about the attitudes around it, right? It was an event that was pushed by the PLP party for a long time, but it is an event that should have been a national, nonpartisan event from a long time.
And that's objective.
All right, caller.
Exactly.
Let's go to the caller. Caller, you get a minute because I get three more videos I want to talk about very quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that this was an opportunity. The people who are still alive that lived that transition, why aren't we hearing their stories?
Because they're not politically expedient.
It's the most incredible moment to bring together all parts of our societies, from the Seminoles to what we call County Joes, and I don't know why we're still calling them County Joes, but to all Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
What are our stories?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, but unfortunately, in this current political culture and merchant culture, because we sell ideas to people, only that which is politically expedient will rise to the surface. It has existed in a way that we could only perceive it as a partisan political activity because the PLP party were the only party pushing it forward and championing it. But that doesn't mean that they were doing it for only political purposes. It should be a national event, and we have to grow it to so that we can celebrate it nationally. And FNM, like, we encourage you, great job stepping in. Mm-hmm. But like Crystal pointed out, the two separate political activities does not further the goal. It does not further the thing. In fact, you are actually, it's a detriment. You degrading majority rule by celebrating it in that way. So, Crystal, two more videos. Police officers attempting to detain a man in a yard with a bunch of boat trailers, and then two babies found alone in a car. They look like twins. They're in baby seats, right? I want to say to the bystanders, look here. That's what we want. Don't if you get chafing from people, if the woman come out the store and say, "Man, I was only in the store for 2 minutes and I can't bring both the babies in the store," and la 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 la, you did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Your responsibility is to the children. That's the Child Protection Act. Our responsibility is to the children, right? I still don't know what the circumstances are with that story. Bystanders draw the cameraman's attention to two looks like twins. Small infant toddler in baby seat, probably can't hold their necks up or just holding their necks up, right?
We know that taking care of kids is hard and everything, but my goodness, come on, it's so dangerous.
Let's talk about
so dangerous.
Trafficking in persons, portfolio. We still, like, y'all don't get it? Trafficking in persons is a big thing here. It still happens. People are stealing kids mm-hmm. and stealing babies for nefarious purposes, right? Well, now, mother, health, right?
Well, you don't leave children just sitting around the car. You don't know what could happen out there. You don't know if the children are allergic to bees.
And a car accident, and they get...
Exactly. What temperature is it outside? If these are newborns or infants, they're very sensitive to the temperature and the climate outside or inside the car. You're not there regulating it. So, you don't know what's happening.
And so let's make this point right now. Whenever you see a woman with two children, she need help. Okay? Twins, children are a blessing. Twins and triplets, and quadruplets, they are a blessing. But we know it's like an essential service. Yeah. When you see a woman with more than one child in her hands, you keep your eyes open because she may need your help. What if she just tripped and stumbled and you could be right there to catch her and make sure she doesn't injure herself and the baby? Mm-hmm. How do we support mothers and parents, right? To be good mothers and parents. The second video, police officers attempting to detain a man. It seems like we're in a backyard or back of a property. There are boat trailers. There are a number of plainclothes officers milling about the place. There is a man already detained, right, who is being subdued, not even subdued because he's not fighting. There's no resisting arrest with this gentleman. He's being detained and there's an officer who has a hand on him. And then we see an officer trying to subdue another man. He's having great difficulty subduing the other man by himself. At one point in the video, the police officer, who's in uniform, is seen applying a number of blows to the suspect who he's trying to detain, right? That is disturbing. Here's what's even more disturbing. Why is it that it's only the man in the uniform who's attempting to detain the man? What all the other big officers was doing standing around there? See, I'm mad at the police officer in uniform for punching up the man in his head, you know, because he's just resisting arrest. That's a natural human reflex. No, the one in the blue. Yeah, when he was on the ground. No,
I don't remember seeing a police uniform but I only saw it once.
See a boy in the blue, light blue shirt. He was out of uniform? Anyway. You sure? Okay, anyway, my producer telling me the boy was in uniform. Mm-hmm. The point is this still. If the other officers were assisting with the detention, he would not have had to punch up the boy. Listen, the officer is attempting to subdue a suspect. He's using what he perceives as reasonable force because the guy is fighting back. He resisting. Mm-hmm. He resisting hard, right? We're not doubting that. But if the other officers were actually assisting him in detaining the man, the punching up would not have been necessary. But it gets better. If officers were assigned tasers, and these are senior officers because they're plain clothes. You got to be good. You have to be a senior. You have to matriculate up. You got to go up. Why they can't have tasers? I'm glad you, of course, don't shoot the man. It's unnecessary. I understand why you resorted to punching him up, because shooting him is unnecessary. But it's like 5 or 6 other officers on the scene. Y'all really could not have detained this man? What are we doing? What are we doing? The Royal Bahamas Police Force. We want to be your friends because we are your family. You's our family and we's your family. We're family members. We have to be friends. But what are y'all doing? How much of this are we supposed to take? How much are we supposed to take? See, because that's what we got the people doing. That's how the people coping. Anyway, I love my producer. He know exactly how to end the show. You guys, stay tuned because another exciting show with C.A. Newry, Guardian Radio AM, is up next. Get your scarves, get your blankets. It's cold out there.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.